right ahead and just do what God bids you to do. Preach.
All right, John. You did great tonight. I started to walk up there and give you in Amazing Grace 5, 6, and 7, but I thought, no, I better be led by the Holy Spirit instead of Glenn Sheehan. It's so easy to be led by self a lot of times, isn't it? I'm telling you, this is a wonderful atmosphere. The Holy Spirit's here. The angels are here. God is here. And He is definitely moving in this church. I really thought Charlie did exceptionally well tonight because it was right off the front burner. And I've heard it, really haven't counted all the times, Charlie. I don't count like that. You know, David got in trouble by counting all the time. And I just don't count a great deal. But God bless you. And I just wonder, like when Charlie put his head on that steering wheel, I bet it wasn't even wrapped with leather like ours are today. I bet it was real hard when you did it. But maybe it took something hard to knock some sense and power in your life, Charlie. I mean, not just a thought. Just a thought. Amen. Yeah. Now we've got all Creature Comforts wrapped in leather, wrapped in lambskin, wrapped in this and wrapped in that. A lot of them that drive them, you know, they're all wrapped up in themselves. And when people are wrapped up in themselves or ourselves, we make a very small package. Don't we?
Right.
I don't know, but I agree with John years ago, Osteen. He said, we haven't been taken to heaven yet. We're not in the sweet by and by. We're still in the nasty now and now. If you don't believe me, why, just get outside and go on around, you know. And today I was in a powerful storm, but I've been in powerful storms before. Been blown off the highway, gotten out of the ditch, and just keep on going, you know. And I thought about conversion and change,
yes,
dramatic encounters, the good things that happened to each one of us in this lovely audience tonight. And I remember when Christ came into my heart, we weren't even in the church. We were at a Covina Grammar School in a citywide meeting that was under the auspices of the businessmen and the local pastors of Covina at that time. And they called Bill Long. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Lord, that I can still remember his name. That is a miracle. Do you know that? Bill Long from 17th and O is the place to go in Bakersfield. He came down and preached and got his musicians all together. And so I had said to my mother, she had been praying for me for, I don't know, a long time.
God bless you.
In fact, I can still hear her sobbing. Sobbing. And it wasn't just to say, bless Glenn, Lord, bless him, Lord. No, it was like an agonizing, soul travailing prayer.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, we had curfews back in those days. You had to be in by 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I remember all the young ladies that I was honored to take to Betsy Ross and to Big Bob's in Pasadena and go out and just hold their hand, just hold their hand. You know, their father, particularly of the Catholic persuasion, Mr. Zakik. Lord, I'm glad I remember that name. Isn't that amazing, you know? He always said, listen, son, I want you to get Marianne here on time, and I want you to start at, the curfew is 10:30. You start at 10, because you might have a flat or a blowout, so get her here on time. You understand that? I said, yes, sir, I truly understand. You know, but my mother came in and knelt by my bed. I thought I'd made it in peacefully, and all was well. And I said, come on, where did you come from? You must have been hidden in the closet, you know. She said, son, I've got a word for you. I said, you've been giving me these words all these months and days and years. And I said, how many words are you going to have for me? She said, I'm really, this is it, son. This is it for you.
Wow.
She said, now you can do whatever you wish. There'll be no more curfew. Stay out all night if you wish. Just and do whatever you want to do. And if you want to quit your job at the paint and body shop, that's not a beauty salon, that's a body shop that you take care of automobiles by detailing and painting and all those good things. And I did. I quit my job because I had something to fall back on. My mother said it was all right for me to quit. See? That gets me out from the umbrella. And so she said, I've just turned you over to God. And that's it. I said, all right. That's fine. That's fine. And I remember it seemed like I was pressured even when I got going to El Monte or Baldwin Park or into El Hamra or Los Angeles. I felt a strange sensation going through me. I said, what is this, you know? And I'd had fellows pull up beside me a lot of times, and they had back in those days those knives, I forgot what they called them, but they'd push a button, it'd go straight out like that, and it's silhouette, and the light is long, too. And I didn't want to get involved in any of that, you know. But I had strange feelings, you know, of all of that. And so I remember Boy Svensson. Thank you, Lord. That's another name I can remember. Precious. Amen. Boy Svensson. And we had two lovely ladies lined up in Pasadena to go to the Kasbah. That's just a local beep, beep, bop, bop, you know, dance where you do the frug and the mashed potato and the hully gully and all that wiggling, gyrating going on, you know, back then. And so they were lined up to go. We were ready to go. And you know what? As they were singing on Citrus Avenue at the grammar school, that's where the school I attended there years ago, and I'm not going to tell you how many years. I will, if the Lord impresses me to tell you, I will tell you. But the Lord says they don't really care about how many years it's been, Glenn. Just mind your own business. And as we were going north on Citrus, and you run into San Bernardino Road, it goes east and west. Then you have to take a left, which is going west, on down to Azusa Boulevard and then Arrow Highway to get on Colorado Avenue to get to the Kasbah. But as we were chugging along, going on Citrus Avenue north, I had to keep my car in low gear because I had high compression, you know, engine, Edelbrock heads, port relief, Mert bore, and and you really had a lot of power on that hood. You know, I still like power tonight. You know that?
Yeah.
I even like some Holy Ghost power, don't you?
Walking around, hallelujah, glory to God. Shot a hole in a coffee pot. Yeah, bing, bing.
I like power. Don't you like that power? Well, I'm telling you, when you rammed that engine on and had Edelbrock heads and three pots of relief there, open headers under the running board, you've got some power. I still like power. Think I want to get on the freeways now and you put your accelerator down and said, well, check a lug. I don't know where I can make it or not. I want that thing to scat, get out there.
Yes, sir.
But it's different with me and now, I'll tell you that for sure, because you get in trouble by speeding and all of that. And so as we were going up Citrus, I heard the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Well, we'd sang that in the AG church and also the First Baptist church there where I was baptized years ago. And so I began to slow down because it's like it's just coming out of the auditorium there. And so somehow, to this day, I only give the Holy Spirit the praise and honor. There's one place, parking place there, and all of a sudden I just put the brakes on and it turned right in there. And Vincent said, Shin, are you nuts? Are you crazy? We've only got about 20 minutes to get to Pasadena. I said, I know, but hey, just don't bother me, please. This is something I can't explain to you, and you don't have to know right now. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I feel like we should go in here and see what's going on in this revival. He said, well, you already know what's going on. And listen, if we go in this revival, it will ruin our reputation. Reputation, my eye. What kind of reputation did we have? Sid and Charles Pool Hall, snooker, pool, hot rod drags, at Santa Anita racetrack, chasing the girls. Well, at least it was the girls and not the boys. Hallelujah. And doing all those things. What kind of reputation did we have? Wasn't worth 2 cents. So I wore a nice leather jacket. I always liked suede jackets as well, but I said, well, we can just pull our collars up like this and go in and go way up there in the balcony. No one will recognize us and no one will see us. But would you believe when that Bill Long stepped up there, said, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. I get an unction from the Lord right now. That there's few teenagers sitting right up here in the balcony, and you are a sinner. You are breaking the laws of God. And if you don't repent of your sins, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell." I said, "Whoa, I don't want to go to hell." You know, I never had it put to me like that. But man, he was 17th and old. You got there, man. They didn't play church. They preached. And so when he pointed that finger, I kind of ducked up there a little bit, you know. But when they sang the invitation, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I'll tell you, a lot of people say, was that a point of a contact? I really don't know. But I know when you touch this book, there's a lot of power in this book.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Mother studied this book. Your mother studied the book, Jewel. She studied the book. They knew the book. They knew the power and the reality of the book. May I just say this lovingly? There's so many denominations, and it's religion's what it is. May I say this again, and I'm not being ugly, rude, or crude. I do have a little class. Thank you very much. There's a lot of our churches are just religious. And there'd be churches said, "Shin, you mean you still go to some churches on Wednesday night?" Moreover, John knows about this. You mean you still go to some churches on Sunday night? Still a few. A few, they'll take a risk and a chance. And so I said, "That's it." The Lord convinced me that I needed to pray and ask Him to come into my heart. And I felt that point of contact seemed like it's coming from my mother's prayers and also from the Bible and what I sensed and felt.
Yes.
And so I said, "Lord, I'm going to just ask you to come into my heart. And I really don't know what to do." And He said, "Just tell me you love me and tell me you'll serve me and just trust me as your Savior." I said, "I'll do that. I'll do that. I don't know how, but I'll do that." And would you believe that about after I did that, and this is one reason I can say, but Charlie, I knew the next morning about 10:20, I was going in on San Bernardino Boulevard West, and there's a nice man, I never will forget, he had gray hair and a little fine line mustache, and he wasn't looking, and he rammed in the side of my car in the front and bashed in the fender. I couldn't believe I was so cool, man. I mean, but cool. Because had I not, before that, I would have jumped out and said, "Hey, man, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You know, you don't want to ventilate. You want to tell people what you feel and everything." I got out of the car. I was cool. And I just walked up. I said, "Whoa." I said, "I see here, we got a little mishap here." He said, "Oh, young man, I'm so sorry." He apologized. I said, "Sir, no problem. No problem." I said, "Look, right over there, there's Harold Blackard's Paint and Body Shop. What we'll do is go right over there and get an estimate." I said, "Sir, have you insurance?" He said, I do. I said, "We'll go straight over there, get an estimate, and I have Odie King. Thank you, Lord, I still remember Odie. Isn't that good?" And he's over there, and he's the number one paint and body man. He'll make it look brand new. That he did. And the man paid everything, apologized, and I knew that I was really saved, because you see, that 1939 Ford convertible was my God. I was guilty of idolatry, guilty of worship at convertibles. I still like convertibles, but I don't like to get my hair messed up now and everything, you know, like, but I still like a convertible once in a while. Nothing wrong with driving a convertible. If you like one, grab it and get it. Buy it right. Buy low. Get you a convertible.
Gotcha.
But you know what? I said, "Lord, it worked out just fine." So God works in different ways. He works in your life, and He loves you, and He's for you. And then I realized the other day, I relived my life, Because after some great challenges that I've had in my life the last year and a half, and thank God my son's come in under the umbrella. He's really back with God. And he sends his love. He's out of there every morning a little after 7. He didn't get in tonight until about 6:30 or 7. You know? But he said, "Dad, I'm taking you to church." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Because I love you." Think of that. He said, "I love you." Well, listen, you sow good seed in your life among your children's will. If you said they may veer away a little while, but they'll come back. They'll come back. You know that? They'll come back. And I remember years ago, I took him with me to Southern Cal for 3 months. We used to stay a month in a lot of the churches and had wonderful times. Do you mind if I have a little sip here? Thank you. Your enthusiasm overwhelms me. We get a drink.
That's good. Oh, yeah.
So as we were leaving Van Horn, you know where Van Horn, Pecos, Van Horn, on the way to El Paso, he was standing up in the front there, and he had his hands on the dash, and he always looked straight ahead. And all of a sudden, I was doing about 70, and the speed limit's maybe 75. I'm not sure about that, but I was within the reach. And all of a sudden, there's a heavy car went, and kind of rocked my car just a little bit. Chris said, "Dad, what kind of car is that?" I said, "If I can remember, I think that is a Rolls Royce." He said, "That's the kind of car you should get." He said, "Look at it, how fast it is." I said, "Son, if I really wanted a Rolls Royce, I'd get one." You say, "Are you well?" No. But if you have faith, faith can move mountains. Faith can change hearts. It takes faith to be saved. We're saved by faith, kept by faith, going to heaven by faith. Like you said in your message, good message you've been preaching. Man, I've been drinking them in. Whoa, hallelujah. Ready to go. He said, "You mean you could buy one?" I said, "Sure. I sure could." But he said, "You know what? I said, if we lined Rolls Royces all the way from Fort Worth to Los Angeles, which is 1,500 miles, and we placed a bumper to bumper, I wouldn't take all of those Rolls Royces. I wouldn't give you for all of those Rolls Royces. I'd rather have you as my son than all those Rolls Royces for 1,500 miles from Fort Worth to Los Angeles. And believe you me, dear, we've tread over that path many, many times since 1951. Yeah, more than that, maybe. But you see, God knows how to take care of us.
Yes, he does.
And he's a great I am. He's a great I am. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Our faith is in him tonight. And I remember reading some time ago, and during the days of the apostle, there were some men, three men, they jumped up. It'd be like the philosophers and the teachers and the intellectuals. And they boldly claimed, said, "There is no resurrection." Men like Voltaire, the French philosopher, Thomas Paine, the American writer, and Robert Ingersoll, the American lawyer, who literally denied the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But dear friends, I have good news tonight. These men they're gone forever.
They're gone.
They shall never return. But Jesus is still alive.
Yes, hallelujah.
He's still the hope of the world.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And no wonder the scripture says in Matthew 21:10. This is referring to Jesus, our Lord. It says, "But when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' And then the multitude said, 'Why, it's Jesus of Nazareth, from Nazareth, the great prophet.' And the multitudes were following him." Have you ever noticed in reading the scripture, it always says, "Great multitudes, great multitudes." Jesus never worried about crowds. He always had crowds because he had the power. Great multitudes followed him. And I remember right after my conversion, I penned a poem. Part of it was, plagiarism, and the other was strictly Shinism. I mean, you know, I got a little mixture in there, but it goes something like this. I had walked life's path with an easy tread, and I followed where pleasures and comforts led, until in a quiet place I met the Master face to face. With station and rank and wealth as my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul. I had entered to win in life's mad race, till I met the Master face to face. Oh, I met Him and I knew Him, and I blushed to see that His eyes full of sorrow, they were fixed on me. Well, I faltered and I fell at His feet that day, while my castles all melted and vanished away. Melted and vanished, and in their place did I know that I met the Master face to face.
Thank you, Lord.
Friends, I met Him. I knew Him. Old things have passed away.
Yes.
I mean, no wonder Charlie said, we're brand new creatures.
Yes.
We're not old and dilapidated and ugly and mean and cruel. We're new in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's what we need to stay is new in the Lord, to revive our souls, to rejuvenate our souls, to rehabilitate our souls, and to change our lives, revolutionize our life, and really make something out of us in the life, in the here and now. Now, amen. And not long distance from now. And all through the Bible, you will find Scripture indicates that men who had a dramatic encounter with the Christ. Look at John the Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
What a rugged ascetic. Preached out in the open like John Wesley used to preach, and Spurgeon and some of the other greats of that era and that generation. He preached, John the Baptist preached that the Christ was to come. And when he was preaching, it seemed like religion had lost its anointing. No miracles were being performed. People had lost interest in the things of God. And here this rugged man comes along and he begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Did you know there's a lot of teachings floating around in the United States right now that there's any old way, there's more than one way to get to heaven? Did you know the old philosophies, that situation ethics is floating around? It looks good, feels good. Just do it, you know. No. But God has rules in His kingdom. He said, narrow is the way. Not broad way, but narrow. There are certain things that pleases the heart of God. And when we violate His concept and His laws, somewhere along the line, we will pay. We will pay. But John preached. And what was his... And I could say to him, John, of all the people you've ever met, of all the greats, of all the immortals, of all the men of renown, who was the greatest? And with a flash in his eye, he recalled and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Pastor Bob, I encourage you, and First Lady Joy, keep on keeping on. I'm telling you, you may have your moments and you may say, God, I don't understand this, but stay right where you are and go forward. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Big John, I know what I'm talking about. These people have walked in the Tarrant County, in the city, with dignity, class, and nobility. They're the real deal. And I thank God that I have a covering, that I have this church, and that my family believes in this church. But not only that, they believe in God. They believe in themselves, and they know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. John met him. Have you thought about blind Bartimaeus? I thought about this tonight, but I look out before this lovely audience and I say, we should thank God for a good voice. How many can hear me tonight?
Yes.
You can hear me. From whence cometh my voice? From Him. I don't need to mimic someone else. I don't need to be just a voice like somebody else at all. He sounds like this. He sounds like A. Allen, at least Alonzo Allen, or he sounds like Billy Graham, or he sounds like Oral Roberts, or he sounds like this. No, God help us. I want to be me, because I know God created me to be me, and there's no one else like me. No one else like you. Be you, because you're precious in the sight of God. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody going someplace, because you have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Bartimaeus, I'm telling you, he was sitting by the highway side in Jericho. This really makes me feel so good and proud, because I've been to Jericho. I've tried to single out the spot where Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, where he sat. Yeah. There's a lot of other people there, narrow roads, weren't they? Yes. But because of dear pastor and his wife, I was blessed to go and take it all in. I took good pictures. I can still see on the wall of my memory all these different people. I didn't even ride a camel in Jericho. Faith did. Oh, she's way up there, man. Well, the reason I didn't ride a camel, because I just had a prostate operation. I'm not a chicken. Hey, listen, I'm not a sissy. I'm not a sissified stuffed shirt. I'm a man, hallelujah. There's a difference from a man and a woman. How many believe that tonight? Oh, yeah. They said, get on here, Glenn. I said, no, I decline. I didn't want to tell him, go through all the litany of all that, you know. And so the guy that was our driver, well, wasn't those buses nice? Those are like brand new buses, came from Germany. Those air-conditioned Mercedes, you know.
Good trip.
Oh, man. I thank God that I've been to Jericho. So I met I knew the man, his name was God, and he was an Arab. I think that's correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. Hey, look, I can put myself under anyone's authority. You see what I'm saying? Why are people so proud and arrogant and pompous? Pompous pomposity, full of fluff and just... Why don't we humble ourselves and be what we are by the grace of God?
Yes, hallelujah.
Let's just be what we are by the grace of God. So I went over the corner there, and no one was standing by him. And so I walked over there to him. I said, well, it's a pleasure to see you and to meet you. I said, would you care for a Snicker candy bar? He said, you mean chocolate candy? I said, yes. Would you like to, you know, have a Snicker? He said, I would. So I went over there and bought God a Snicker candy bar and watched him eat it, and I enjoyed it. That's why I didn't get on a camel. I didn't need to be on a camel, you know. Isn't it good?
Oh, yeah.
But Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway side, the son of Timaeus. He was blind. He was poor. He was depraved. He lacked the nicer things in life. But while he was sitting there, he heard a noise. He heard that Jesus was marching by, coming by. What did Bartimaeus do? If you look at Mark 10, chapter 10, verse 42 through 52, 60 rather, you'll see that he was there, and he was even searching while he was there. And when he heard the crowd, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the people said, come on, man, cool it. You're too loud, making too much noise. Just cool it down. You're too loud. But you know what the scripture says? Check it out. He cried out the more a great deal. So much more in that day. And his cry was so powerful and so commanding that it stopped Jesus there with the crowd, and he stood there, and he looked over and he said, call him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Still singing.
Call him. Yeah. Call him. Call him. And the crowd said, they didn't say be of good cheer. They said, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort, for he calleth thee. And even at that time, he began to cast off his garments. Whoa! And he began to run to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Glenn, be nice. I'm tired of being nice after all these years. I've got to be me. You know who used to say that? I've got to be me. Call him.
Yes.
Now, notice carefully. He said to Bartimaeus, what is it that I can do for thee or unto thee?
Yes.
And Bartimaeus said, Lord, I put this in parentheses, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus stretched forth his hand. I mean, and the scripture says that he healed him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Immediately. I take that to mean right now. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't, you know, be coy about just saying that. Immediately.
Yes.
And Jesus said, as he passed by, he went on his way, he was healed. And then what did he do? Oh, he went to the university. He went to Harvard. Oh, you know, Harvard used to be a great institution. It still is in a lot of ways. Yeah. But it says he followed Jesus.
Followed Jesus.
Went on his way.
Oh, yeah.
And followed Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, isn't that wonderful? So, friends, it's like Stuart Hamlin said years ago, it's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And you know what? I believe in miracles. I believe they're happening today. And I believe Charlie had a clear-cut miracle. I believe when John Hall, Big John, decided to go solo and go on his own and leave, I'm not saying this, what would it be called? It's over here. I believe when he made that decision that he would go and trust God, I believe God was with you, John.
Yes.
And he still is.
Thank God. Yes.
Are you planning to retire, Brother Glenn? Retire? Question, please. Can you find retirement in the Bible? It's not there. It's conjured up in our minds. Oh, they're getting old. You know, do you know they're 75 now? Oh, Bob, you're such an encourager, Pastor. I praise God for that. People are always asking you my age, and then they want to compare me to some of my relatives. You know. And I just say, God bless you. I appreciate you asking and your interest in me, but my number's unlisted, and so.
That's all about it.
Or I'll fall back on this. Years ago when I was younger, you know, kind of sad. You know, younger, you say a lot of things that you wouldn't say now after you've been out there a few years. But I used to say, well, listen, if you'll ask me for asking, I'll know. If I tell you and you ask me, you'll have to forgive me or something. I'll forgive you for asking me if you'll forgive me for not telling you. I don't do that anymore. They'll think that we're smart. Then they find out we're ministers. They said, ha ha, I'd like to buy him for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth. These smart preachers. Yeah. And Pastor Bob, if I go back to Covina, I think I have a pretty good record. Last I checked, I'm the only evangelist in 55 years that's had 28 revivals there. Wow. With three different pastors. Now, Big John's been one of them up there that I didn't. He's out on the desert now, and he's still living. You remember his name, but he's a Canadian. God loves Canadians. Now, don't get uptight. Hey, whoa, all right. What? Ron, oh, yeah. Because my first meeting with him, there's about 900 people there. And he called me, said, Brother Glenn Sin, S-I-N. You know how that went over? You know what I did, Pastor? You know what I did. I walked right down. They had a big, huge balcony on both sides, you know, that could go way up high there. And then I walked right in the center of the church. I said, Pastor Stevens, thank you for acknowledging me. I've been here for more revivals conducted than you have. And I'm not going to take this lightly. I'm a sinner, but I'm a sinner, sir, saved by the grace of God. God bless you all. And I got a standing applause to raise it. Most of them are died. They've died now. I wouldn't get that applause now. They're not off the scene, you know. But I want to tell you, this life is what we make it. And when I think of John the Baptist, when I think of Thomas, the honest doubter, and I think the nameless, faceless lady that was caught in the very act of adultery, and the Lord did a great work in her life. And when I think of all that happened to blind Bartimaeus, many times I sang this song the other day. You know, one, it's not once, it's one, O-N-E, I had to do a little research. One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom. And he fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. That was written by Dr. Oswald J. Smith, pastor at the Great People's Church in Toronto, Canada, years ago. Paul took his place, his son. I don't know who is there now, but thank God for good writers. Amen. Yes? I'm telling you, it's there. It's wide open, yours for the asking. Jesus said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto thee. Oh, yes. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Come on, make up your mind. Live, die, sink, swim. What are you going to do? Yes. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve Jesus. That's right. Oh, yes. And I like the song that they used to sing years ago, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian and take him with me anywhere. That great evangelist, Gypsy Rodney Smith, used to sing, from sinking sands, he lifted me. Yes. With tender hands, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. What do you have need of tonight, friends? There's not a doubt in my mind. Whatever you have need of, the Lord can touch you. I was touched here when Sister Cruz prayed me that Sunday morning and Pastor Bob called me, and I've been to different places and said, hey, Brother Glenn, I saw you. Pastor Bob's church, they're praying for your eyes. I said, well, amen, brother. Amen. Keep praying for my eyes, because our eyes, you have good eyes tonight and you see, say amen. What a masterpiece, our good eyes. You have a good voice? Say amen. What a masterpiece. If you have good legs and arms and body, the physiological, psychological body, if you thank God for that, say amen.
Amen.
What a masterpiece. Science can't do that. All they can do is create a little sissified monkey or baboon or something else like. They can't do it, but God can. He's the master of all, the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what is your pleasure? He's here tonight to touch your life, to breathe into your life, to anoint your life, and give you what you have need of tonight. May we stand together, please. I feel Jesus is here tonight. He was here when I came in the door out of the rain. He's here to bless someone. Thank God for those who came forward, Brother Charlie, and accepted Christ as Savior. But if there's anyone here tonight, you'd say, Brother Glenn, I really need that divine touch. I need help from Jesus tonight. I've got to make an important decision. I don't know. I've been depressed over this. I don't know which way to turn. If you'll come tonight, I feel the anointing of God. I feel the Holy Spirit in my hands tonight. That's right. I feel even the Bible, there's a point of contact, and you can just touch the Bible, the Word of God, because Billy Sunday said years ago, this book has enough power to literally blow the hinges from the gates of hell. And I appreciate what Pastor Bob said the other day. He said, I don't want all this technology up here that I can do with my hands and fingers. He said, I want this book that I can touch and feel, because there's power that's emanating from this book and from this Bible. Thank God for your life, Charlie. Thank God for everyone here tonight. Bless your life. Enrich your life. Help. May God solve your problems and meet every need. May you prosper in every way. May Jesus be real in your heart and in your life. Yes, amen. Never be the same again.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever it is, I want you to come quickly. And right here, if you have a need, right over here on this side, come right now and touch the Word of God. We will pray for you for that divine touch. Only one time. Over here to the right. All right. Come on, quickly. Hurry. Come on. Come on. Come on. Quickly, quickly. Anyone right here in the center? In the center right here, you just touch the Word of God. Just stand there, please. And all I'm going to ask you to do is touch the Word of God. I'm telling you, this book has sustained me all these years. Permit me to just give a testimony. Years ago, as students, Brother Bob remembers this, I'm sure. But my roommate, because Pastor Davis asked that his son Bernie be my roommate, I said, I don't know. He said, it's okay, Glenn. I want him to be roommates with you. Yeah. And so through Brother R.L., Brother A.A. Allen was in Tyler. And so I said, well, why don't we go down there and get on that tent and see what God's doing? Yeah. He said, let's do it. You know how we got down there? We hitchhiked. You say, are you did that back then? Oh, yeah. We did?
That's the way we got around.
Keep telling those great stories, man. Amen. We hitchhiked. When we got there, why, we got under the big tent. And Brother Allen's friend, Tommy Anderson's a dear friend of mine. He used to be the assistant pastor in Covina and also the piano player. He and Billy are dear friends. Tommy went on to be with the Lord, and Billy lives in Phoenix now. She just turned, oh, I better not tell her age because I still love her. And I just don't want her to know that I'm that telling her age. She wouldn't like that. Still a lot of pride in there, you know. So when Brother Lunsford, thank you, Lord, I still remember Brother Lunsford in Tyler.
Yeah.
I know that's been a long time, hasn't it, Pastor?
Yeah.
He was the executive back then. And he slept in tall beds. In fact, he had to have a step ladder to crawl up in the bed and sleep. I remember that night because he didn't want us to hitchhike back to Waxahachie after the service. I thought that's kind. So Brother Allen invited us to get in that nice car of his. And Sister Alexis, she was there, and two of his sons and all of that. And we got in the car, and he said, let's go out and get something to drink. We went out to a place that you just pull up in there, you know. We did. And then would you believe the brother saw that brother out there And he came out. He was cooking hamburgers and everything. And he had on an apron about like came up here down to here. It had mustard and ketchup and everything just all over it, you know. And then he had a white cap on him. And then he leaned in the door there at Brother Allen's car. He said, well, he said, are you the man that's setting this town on fire? He said, I sure would like to set it on fire. He said, well, go for it. I'm for you, brother. We need a great revival in the move of the Holy Spirit. And then the nice pastor said, you boys, what are you going to do? I said, well, we're going back to school, try to get a little education. Not too much, but just enough to give us intellectual measles. You know, just enough to get us through. He said, okay. So we climbed up in that bed, and the people were very kind. We didn't have to hitchhike back. Brother Lonsford said, say, fellas, I know someone that's going to Waxahachie tomorrow. I said, you do? Well, what time's he going? He says, oh, about 10. I said, is there a possibility that you can just jack it up and make it about 7 or 7:30 so we get there and we won't get demerits? He said, because I was assistant dean of men back then. I mean, you know, oh, yeah. I got rid of that job quickly because I wasn't going to go out and say, lights out, boys, 10 o'clock, lights out. That's the best way to make enemies in Bible school, I'll tell you, Lord. That was enough of that. Amen. And so God began to move in lives, souls, and men. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to get to stay here maybe 5 years or 4 years, but help me to cram all I can in the school and join every prayer group and prayer and make it all count. And God gave me miracle after miracle after miracle. And then I remember when you're willing to give up what you really love or something that you like, that I worship, when you give that up, God will make it up to you.
Yes, he will.
All these years, I've never worried about getting. Faith asked me something. I said, honey, how are you going to get there? I said, I don't know. I don't worry about it. They said, what if the pastor's not over there to pick you up at church? I mean, at the airport. I said, I'll get there some way. And every one of them had been very kind to me. And I'll tell you, if you have need for better eyesight, if you have need for more money, don't you feel better when you have some money in your pocket? Don't you believe God wants you to pay your bills? You kidding? Christians not paying their bills? God wants you to pay your bills. He wants you to be blessed. And he wants to anoint you. I'm ready to pray. How many ready to pray? Say amen. Amen. This little lady came first. Put your hand on the book. Whatever it is, in Jesus' name, Lord, grant answered prayer to this dear lady. May she feel the power of the Holy Spirit moving in her heart and in her life. And we claim it and we give victory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Open your mouth and praise him. Open your mouth. Come on, open your mouth. Come on, open it. Put it right there. Jesus, do the work by your spirit, by your power in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Brother, put it there. Put the word there, Father. Claim it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you're the great I am. Tell him the great I am, I am, I'm the I am, and I am, I am, I am. Jesus, do it now. Claim it, brother, in Jesus' name, and be made whole by Christ's name. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you're truly the Christ, the Son of God. Touch this precious woman with your power. Oh, Lord, as you touch Bartimaeus, as you touch the nice lady, as you made them whole and healed them, Lord, we believe you for that. Oh, Lord God, Lord, we lay our hands upon this lady. We believe through the word, the point of contact. Lord, through the word of the living God, be made whole, be set free, soul in your body, in your mind. Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you, brother. Lord, you're powerful and you have the power to change lives, meet every need, solve problems. Come to my brother right now and meet his need, dear Lord. Change him by his spirit in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, brother, for that power. Oh, Lord God of Israel, the Son of the living God, the Son of David, heal and be blessed and set free. Jesus, do it, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We lay hands here that we believe. Place ourselves in agreement. Lord, that with His stripes we are healed. And all to this blessed lady. And set her free in her heart and her life. In Jesus' mighty name and for the glory of God. Hallelujah.